Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
For this edition of Ask an Expert, I'll start with a quote from W. Somerset Maugham. Look after your laundry and your soul will look after itself. That quote appears in Chapter 1 of a new book called Laundry Love, Finding Joy in a Common Chore by Patrick Richardson. With a degree in apparel and textiles, years of experience in high-end retail, and running his own boutique, Mona Williams, Patrick knows clothes. More importantly, he knows how to get clothes clean, keep them clean, and feel good doing it. He runs a laundry camp. Yes, I said laundry camp, where campers learn techniques and the chemistry of cleaning, like how to use vodka to refresh stinky sweaters, or why you should be sorting into four piles, maybe five, rather than just two of whites and colors. And as we learn in the book, this love for laundry is rooted in the way Patrick was brought up in Kentucky, including the influence of his formidable grandmother, who he called Granny Dude. He writes in the book, in his books, author Gary Chapman teaches five love languages, ways to express and experience love. Mine is service. That's what caring for clothes meant for my grandmother, for my mom, and now for me. Far beyond obligation, service is the way I show others love, whether I'm ironing my husband's shirts, washing our vintage table linens in preparation for a party, or decorating our home for Christmas. Changing our mindsets from simply cleaning clothes to caring for others is key to changing our attitudes about laundry from drudgery to love. Patrick has been tapped for a new show called The Laundry Guy, which is available to stream now on Discovery Plus, and you can watch the first episode on HGTV. And now you can read about his laundry journey and yours yet to come in his new book, Laundry Love. Patrick, welcome to All of It.
Wow, thank you so much. It's quite an introduction.
Listeners, do you have questions about laundry techniques? Do you have a stain you can't get rid of? Do you want to confirm or dispel a myth you've heard? Give us a call. 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. You can also tweet to us at @AllOfItWNYC or message us on Instagram at @AllOfItWNYC. We are talking about cleaning clothes. So as I read that passage, you talk about your upbringing in the book quite a bit as you're in your inspiration for your love of laundry. What is your earliest, your very first laundry memory?
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you asked because it's a great story. One of my very earliest memories, period, is handing my granny clothespins when she was hanging clothes on the clothesline. And what's so great about it is I know my mom thinks I was probably like 18 months. I was either a year and a half or 2 years, 2.5 years old. And the reason I know that is because I already loved laundry at that point, you know, handing the clothespins. Because when I was three, Santa brought me a toy washing machine for Christmas. So I know that my love of laundry goes way back. And I also have a very clear memory of my Uncle Quinn. He was actually my great uncle, but I called him Uncle, holding me up so I could look down in the washing machine and watch the clothes turn. Because I was fascinated by it, even at a very early age. Which is very funny.
It's very funny. I have to ask, Granny Dude? I love it.
Granny Dude. Yeah, she... It's funny. I mean, she lived up to the name. She was a very formidable woman. And as I look back on her now, I see like how incredibly modern her thinking was. I mean, she was very much a woman ahead of her time. But when I was very young, I started calling her Granny Dude, and it stuck. And it, what's funny is everyone else now calls her, you know, even when we talk about her in the past, people still call her Granny Dude.
What's a great...
Her name was Irene, but Irene. You know, I don't know where that came from.
What's a great lesson that you learned from Granny Dude that still comes back to you now?
The biggest thing that I think about Granny, you know, she loved beautiful clothes. She used to drive like all day to Columbus, Ohio to shop because she'd love to buy beautiful things and that was where she would go. And, you know, she wore everything. And as I've gotten older, I very much appreciate the idea that if you can take care of your clothes, you can wear everything you own. So, you know, she wasn't afraid to wear, you know, her most, we'll say, precious item. Because she didn't see the reason, you know, the relevance of saving it for, you know, Christmas Eve or whatever. I mean, she wore it when she wanted. And as I've gotten a little older, like, I really appreciate that, you know, even environmentally, the idea that you don't have these things that are off limits, that your whole wardrobe is your whole wardrobe all the time. And I think about that a lot, you know, and I think that's really a, kind of a great attitude.
You know, there are old sayings that are rooted in some truth, and you know that, notice that one of these sayings is right on when it comes to laundry. Wash on Monday, iron on Tuesday, mend on Wednesday, churn on Thursday, or brew on Thursday in some communities.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the history of this saying, and why does it hold true to have a single wash day?
Well, I mean, in the, you know, when that saying was common, you know, they were either washing on a washboard or using a wringer washer, and laundry took all day. It was an all-day process. And the reason they would do it on Monday is the clothes from the week before, you know, would have gathered up, but you'd also had your Sunday clothes at that point. So on Monday, they would start in the morning. And imagine, you know, you have, like, let's say three children, and you're washing all of the clothes in a tub with the washboard. You have to go to the well, get the water, heat it up, use the soap that you've made, and scrub the clothes piece by piece on a washboard, go get more water from the well, rinse it, hang it up, let it dry, bring it in, heat your iron on a wood-burning stove, you know, too many irons in the fire, that's where that saying comes from, and then you had to iron everything, and you had to keep changing the irons to keep them hot. I mean, it would have been an all-day job. It's amazing. Like, you know, people now complain because, you know, we have to throw something in and push the button. But think about that.
My guest is Patrick Richardson. The name of his book is Laundry Love, Finding Joy in a Common Chore. All right. So when did you realize people had issues with doing laundry and doing laundry right? I mean, you run these laundry camps at the Mall of America.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny. It actually started because when I opened my store, it was Designer Vintage, and I carried laundry products really as a means to tell people how to care for the vintage, because I was afraid that, you know, unlike my granny, they wouldn't wear a party dress because they didn't want to have to dry clean it. So I started carrying the laundry products and showing them how, and then everyone started coming in and just asking me laundry advice. And I realized that so many things that people had been taught, you know, were sort of wrong. I mean, it's like laundry was kind of like a game of telephone. You know, one person said something and then somebody else added something. And then, you know, by the time it was passed down, you know, to 2013, there were all sorts of these really bad habits. And so I started answering the questions. Then more and more people came, and I just realized, like, there weren't enough hours in the day to just answer laundry questions all day long and answer laundry emails all day long. So I started doing laundry camp so everybody could come and get all the information at once.
Our phone lines are full, and I'm going to get to them in just a minute. People are into this. But what is something that you heard a laundry camper say that horrified you?
The thing that scared me most is I don't like pods. And because there's enough detergent in one pod to do five loads of laundry. And a woman came in and she said, you know, my clothes don't come clean, so now I use three. And I actually shrieked. Like, I literally shrieked in the class. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, and she said, what? And I said, you need to go home, take everything you've ever washed and put it in the washing machine with vinegar and try to get all of that out, because that is just yuck. I mean, it was like, it was a moment, you know, it's like one of those moments that you never forget. That was one of them.
Let's take some calls. I see some of them I know you can answer because you've addressed them in the book. Let's go to line seven and Sherry. Hi, Sherry. Thanks for calling all of it. You're on with Patrick Richardson.
Good afternoon and happy holidays to you.
And to you.
I have this problem, and I'm sure other people have this too. It's one of these very weird things. Clean clothes, I finish, you know, finish the laundry, hang the clean clothes up in the closet, and then a week or two later I go to take out a blouse or whatever, and it's got this mystery yellow stain on it. It's a pale yellow stain, and it's somewhere, they're not always in the same place, but somewhere on this garment. And no matter what laundry product I use, I cannot get rid of these yellow stains, and they've ruined so many of my good shirts. I'm about to scream.
You address the mystery stain in the book. What is the mystery stain?
What it is it is something probably sugary, although it can be oily, but usually it's sugary. It's something that was clear. Like, it could be you know, a soda, or it could be the sugar in tea, and you wash the tea out, but the sugar stayed behind. And what it has done, it has caramelized or oxidized. It's actually super easy to get out. Put a little oily soap, like you can use hand soap, but never dish soap. Like liquid hand soap will work. Put a little oily soap on it. Let it sit about a half an hour, and then run the hottest possible water straight through it, and it will disappear. But the trick is, then when going forward, when you're washing, you know, I always add, if you're prone to those, I always add like some baking soda or something to kind of boost the cleaning power of the laundry soap, you know, to try to get those out. But they're super common, but they're also easy to take care of.
Good luck with that. Let's go to Erin on line 8. Hi, Erin. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, thanks for having me on. My question is about the myth of freezing your clothes to clean them. I've heard people freezing their denim to clean them, or freezing cashmere sweaters because they're delicate, or if you have selvedge denim or vintage denim to help keep it in good shape over time. And I was wondering if that was true, and if not, how would you recommend caring for something like a cashmere sweater or your favorite pair of jeans?
I'm so glad you asked this, because it upsets me so much that people want to put things in the freezer. That's next to the ice cream. That is sacred space. You know, when you put things next to the ice cream, I mean, that's like the most precious space in the freezer to me. It doesn't work. It isn't. If you worked in a cryonics lab where you could go 330 degrees below zero, it would. Anything short of that, it doesn't. So you can wash them. Just wash them with soap. I wash my cashmere sweaters stuffed in a mesh bag really tight like a sausage, and I toss them in the washing machine. If you don't want to do that, you can hand wash them. Hand washing is the preferred method because it'll make them soft and fluffy. Same thing with your jeans. Just if you wash them on express wash, so a very quick wash, you'll get them clean, but you won't ruin that beautiful color. And, you know, use a tiny bit of detergent. Like, I know that, you know, a lot of the bottles say to use like a half a cup. I think you should use 1 or 2 tablespoons.
Good luck with the cashmere. So, Patrick, I mentioned that you take us from beginning to end, and you start with sorting. Mm-hmm. And you say 4 piles, maybe 5. We'll get to the 5th pile in a minute. What are the 4 piles and why?
The first one is white, and anything white. So it's your sheets, your towels, you know, your wedding dress. The second one is black. In my case, I sleep on black sheets, and I always have a black cashmere cardigan, but it could also be your black jeans. The third one is all the cool colors. So it's everything blue, green, and purple, from like baby blue to navy blue, mint green to hunter green, lavender to aubergine. The fourth pile is red, orange, and yellow. So it's all the shades of those colors. And the reason for that, it's actually based on the weight of dye. Dye actually adds weight to fabric. So black t-shirts weigh considerably more than white. What we're trying to do is minimize the abrasion. So I think everything should get washed on an express cycle, but if you put things of similar weights together, they tend to abrade the other things in the washer less. So their clothes last longer.
That 5th pile is especially important now because it's about sportswear or athleisure wear, mm-hmm. which a lot of people have been living in the past year. And you write it gets its own pile because, quote, because all these activewear fabrics in any color are both hydrophobic and oleophilic. So what does this mean mm-hmm. for washing, and how do you get, you know, a lot of those clothes, they don't smell so good, Patrick.
Right. They smell terrible even after you take them out of the washer and hang them up and let them dry. You know, they're polyester, and polyester is an amazing fabric. You know, your car tires are polyester, and Giorgio Armani makes ball gowns out of polyester. I mean, it's incredible, but it's hydrophobic and oleophilic. It hates water, and it loves oil. So it loves the oil from your skin and the bacteria that's in the sweat. It's trapped in that oil. So what you do is you add a little bit of oxygen bleach. And oxygen bleach breaks down proteins. It's completely color safe, but it breaks down protein. So it breaks down the oil and it allows that bacteria to wash out. It's super simple once you start doing it, but oxygen bleach is not safe for wool or silk. And that's the reason I don't say you should put it in every load.
Let's try to slide in another call here. Let's mm-hmm. go to Lauren on line 10. We're all very curious about your question, Lauren. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh my gosh, hi. I can't believe I'm calling about this. I love your show. Thank you for taking my call. Okay, so my husband has a very particular way of having his laundry done. He tends to save it all for like a month or, you know, even longer. But he gets these really dark stains on the back of his shirt collars. He's actually still been going to work, not wearing athleisure in his business clothes. And so the expectation is that I'm going to like take detergent and pre-wash or like rub the detergent into the back of his collars and the you know, the sleeves, the ends of his sleeves of his shirts before I wash. And that sort of adds, especially when it piles up, it just adds a lot of time. So I'm wondering if you have any tips for how to get those stains out and hopefully quicker or using less detergent or something else.
I have a killer trick for this. Okay, the first time you're going to have to spend a couple of minutes per shirt. You're going to use a tiny bit of oily soap or detergent and a little bit of oxygen bleach. And you're going to scrub it in and run hot water through it. And that's going to get the stain out. Once you get those stains out, from that point on, every time you put them in the washer, if you spray them, just literally, you've got it in your hand and you're getting ready to toss it in the washing machine. If you spray it with a mixture of 50 cheap white vinegar and 50 water, you won't have to do anything else. So the first time you have to kind of scrub all that oil out. So you're starting, I mean, imagine you're starting with like a clean shirt, like if he bought a new shirt. Once you've done it one time, you can just spray it with vinegar and water and just toss it in. Same is true with armpits.
Good luck, Lauren. Go out there and scrub. My guest is Patrick Richardson. After the break, we'll hear about water temperatures, what to do with vodka, how to be environmentally friendly as you wash, and the seven things Patrick hates about dryer sheets. This is all of it. This is all of it. My guest this hour is Patrick Richardson. The name of his book is Laundry Love, Finding Joy in a Common Chore. Listeners, if you want to get in on the conversation, if you have questions about your laundry techniques, a stain you can't get rid of, maybe you want to know how to make laundry more exciting, give us a call. 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280, or you can tweet to us or send us a message on Instagram or Twitter at All of It WNYC is our handle on both. Okay, Patrick. So you also write in the book that we wash things too much. You know, people are really sort of overly zealous about washing. And that one of the things we can do is to get some cheap vodka and then we do what with it?
Get some cheap vodka because you want it to be cheap. And then you can use it like a spray. You can spray it on anything and it removes the odor from anything you spray it on. So, you know, if it's like your winter coat and you're trying to keep it, you know, another month until you can just wash it and put it away for the season, spray it with a little vodka. If you go to a restaurant and you leave smelling like the food, spray it with vodka. If, you know, whatever you need, just spray it with vodka and it will remove the odor. Vodka is very antibacterial, but when it dries, it's colorless and odorless. So you can spray everything with vodka and then, you know, you can spray your sneakers, whatever you want. Let it dry, and you're good to go.
What temperature should we wash our clothes? I mean, I think I was always told your colors clothes, you wash it very cold. And if you want to get something super clean, you wash it in very hot. But you say warm's the best, though.
I think warm is the best. Warm is, it brings the temperature up enough to make your detergent or your soap work. And you can also use the express cycle. So the environmental impact of using the warm water is mitigated by the fact that you're using a 30-minute laundry cycle rather than a two-hour one. And the other perk to warm water is it lowers the viscosity of water. When I was in college, we always used to think of it makes water wetter. So the water moves through the clothes more easily. That's why it works so quickly. So it minimizes abrasion, which ultimately makes your clothes last a lot longer. And, you know, you can do all of your laundry in 4 or 5 hours rather than having to do 2 hours a day.
Let's go to Roman online too. I think Roman has a question a lot of people have. Hi, Roman. Thank you so much for holding. You're on the air with Patrick Richardson.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I love your show.
Thanks.
Patrick, I was just wondering if you could give us some tips on how to stay environmentally conscious while doing laundry. I know that's a loaded question, but I'm sure you have some tips for us.
I love this question. I'm so glad you asked. Everything I use is environmentally friendly. I think you should hang things up and not put them in the dryer. You know, if you don't have a clothesline, which I imagine a lot of people in New York don't, you can get a drying rack, you know, that'll fold up flat and go anywhere, but you can throw your clothes on it. They dry. It's actually better for the clothes as well because they last so much longer. I also think that whatever detergent or soap you're using, it should only have plant-based ingredients. If you can't pronounce them, don't buy it. And then I use a lot of baking soda as the booster to my laundry rather than, you know, some sort of chemical. And then, you know, my three things in my kit are vodka, baking soda, and rubbing alcohol. Rubbing alcohol being the most damaging, and it's still pretty safe. And I use that as a spot remover. I don't use any of those, you know, things that are like blue or, you know, whatever. And then, of course, you know, the pods, which have just way too much detergent in them. Everything I use, like, you could take camping. I mean, it'd be safe enough to go straight into the stream. So you don't have to use a lot of really gross chemicals. If you just, you know, look for plant-based things, they're very effective.
Yeah, I want to say, I was going to get to that. The back part of your book really deals with environmentally friendly ways to do your wash. Let's go to Joy, who's calling in from Forest Hills and has a vintage clothing question. Hi, Joy. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi. I love your show, and thanks. This is my first time on the air. I'm a big vintage clothing buyer, and I had found a 1970s shirt with a beautiful print, but under the armpits, it's actually so stiff. And I tried everything to get it out and was unsuccessful. And so the problem is when I do thrift shop or and I see something fabulous and it has a stain, and how to identify what's worth it, what I can actually clean and what I should just leave on the rack.
The old crunchy armpits issue.
Right. Okay. So this is super common. And, you know, I started as a vintage store, so I'm real into this. Get some oily soap. Whatever you want to use, just not dish soap, and get pure sodium, and you're going to have to, it's percarbonate. So it's not sodium bicarbonate, it's sodium percarbonate. You can get it at the hardware store or you can get it online. It's basically very concentrated hydrogen peroxide. You mix those two things together as a paste, put them on the stain, let it sit 45 minutes or so, and then run really hot water straight through it. And it will remove that stain. And it usually will happen in one application. Very occasionally, you'll have to use a second. The only thing I will tell you is you can't do it on silk.
When you say oily soap,
will work.
Patrick, oily soap, what do you mean oily soap?
Well, there are stain removers, like there are oily stain removers that work, but you also can use like liquid hand soap that you would have at your sink. Dish soap is too acidic. But something, I mean, in a pinch, you could even use shampoo. It just needs to be viscous enough that it holds the oxygen bleach in place. Normally, when you use that in percarbonate, it just runs straight through. And the thick sort of syrupy texture of oily soap holds it on the stain to make it break down.
Patrick, not only do you talk about washing, you talk about drying. And in the book, you have a line, 7 things I hate about dryer sheets. Go for it.
Mm-hmm.
What makes them anathema?
It's dryer sheets. Okay. Dryer sheets and fabric softener. The first three problems are, the very first problem is it coats the fabric. So it takes away the breathability. I mean, imagine in the summer you have this gorgeous linen and you want to wear it because it's so breathable and, you know, light. If you've used fabric softener or dryer sheets, you might as well put on the bag that you brought the linen piece home in because it is not going to breathe at all. The second problem is it takes away wicking, which is something that we love in cotton, like golf shirts. We also love it in our sheets. It helps to keep us dry and comfortable, and the fabric can't wick. The third problem is it takes away stains, or it takes away the ability to remove stains as easily because it coats the fabric, and like a coffee stain will go under that coating, and then you have to scrub off the coating to get to the coffee stain. The fourth problem is a bigger one. It's gets a little more serious. They dryer sheets can cause, they contain something known as a phthalate ester. They can cause infertility and developmental issues in children. And I think that's a very high price to pay so that your clothes, you know, smell like, I don't know, island rain. They also are common to cause dryer fires. They leave a sticky residue as your exhaust exits your dryer, and lint builds up there. And so dryer fires, they're actually a very common household fire, and that's usually what causes them. The next problem is if you're using a quote-unquote natural one, it's made of saturated fat, which is usually from rendered horses. And I grew up in Kentucky, and the idea of wearing National Velvet so that my clothes feel softer is just disgusting to me. And the final reason is people use dryer sheets to repel mice and rodents. And I think if a mouse or a rodent is smart enough to run from a dryer sheet, why on earth do you think that's a good idea to put it on your clothes?
You've made a strong case. My guest is Patrick Richardson.
I know, right? it's where the evangelist part comes. I get kind of on my soapbox, so to speak, when it comes to that one.
That's why they called you the laundry evangelist. Laundry loves me, right. Book, Finding Joy in a Common Chore. We have so many calls. Let's see if we can get to a few more. Faye on line one is calling in from Manhattan. Hi, Faye. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, this is so good for taking my call. My question is that public washing machine in my East Village apartment, as you could imagine, and the black clothes always come out with horrible white residue on them, and I have to rewash them or kind of scrub them with a rag afterward. Wondering if you have any tips for that.
I'm going to just re-say the top of it because your phone went out for a little while. Her building's washing machine isn't great. Her black clothes sometimes come out with white residue from the machines, and she wants to know what she can do.
Yeah, okay. First of all, this actually is pretty common. Try to do your black load. Like, if you do a white load, do it first and give it a chance to kind of churn through the machine and then do the black. If you're only going to do the one load and it's black, if you use warm water, that will really help minimize that. And even if it is like a commercial machine where you put quarters in, you can still set the temperature to warm. The warm will break down all that extra soap, which that's what that is it's soap left in the machine. It'll break it down and your clothes will be, you know, fresher and they won't get those white streaks.
Let's go to Alice, who is on line seven, who has sweater questions. Hi, Alice. Thanks for calling.
I love this segment. I love laundry. I wish I could just do laundry and the paperwork would solve itself. I am asking, wouldn't that be great? I mean, that's why I want a partner. I have sweaters and I've had moth issues. And I've also heard that if you wash a sweater with lanolin, which I sent away for because I couldn't find it anywhere, and ammonia, it would revitalize the wool with lanolin. And I don't know whether this is bullshit or... Oh God.
This is Oliver on WNYC. So what's your answer for her, Patrick? It made her so mad, yeah. She cursed.
And you know what? To be honest with you, moths would do it to me too. I get it. Totally get it. So ammonia is not the worst thing in the world to wash your sweaters with. A much better thing to use is soap, and not detergent, but actually laundry soap. You can find it like in co-ops or you can buy it online. It will actually soften your sweaters and it will leave all the natural oils in them, which, you know, that's what you're going for, is to try to leave the oil in. What you want to avoid is anything that's very harsh. You know, I mean, a backup, I think, would almost be to wash them with shampoo, although that's a pain because you can't really do it in the machine. But that will keep them soft. As far as moths, wash your sweaters every season before you put them away. Because believe it or not, the moths don't want to eat the wool of your sweater. They want to eat like the debris, you know, that's on it. Like if there's crumbs or there's dust. They actually even like to eat dust. But they don't want to eat the wool. So if you wash your sweater before you put it away, it'll really help with moths.
Patrick, before I let you go, there are about 10 pages of advice on stains, starting with avocado and ending with watermelon. Is there a stain that you've not been able to figure out or you think is just really the toughest?
I've never met a stain that I couldn't get out, except when stains are on fabrics that are over 100 years old, sometimes I would have to scrub so hard that I would scrub a hole in that very fragile fabric. I mean, I could get the stain out, like, you know, like, I mean, I'm thinking of like butter or something, or, you know, red wine or something like that, barbecue sauce. If it was on new fabric, I could get it out no problem. But when the fabric gets very old and gets very fragile, I'm afraid of scrubbing a hole through it. So the one stain that I haven't tackled, that I haven't completely mastered, is on, you know, very old textiles. And I can get them about 85%, but I just can't get that last little bit, you know, it haunts me.
The century stain. It's your white whale.
It's totally true.
It's a terrific book. It's funny. It's smart. It's got a lot of great advice. The name of it is Laundry Love, Finding Joy in a Common Chore. Thanks to all of our callers. And thank you so much, Patrick.
Thank you. This was so much fun.